Well, good morning and welcome to Wyndham Community Chapel service of May 16th, 2021. My name is Pastor Gary DeHaas and it's great to have you listening to us today from your homes or wherever you may be. As we spend time in God's Word in the presence of each other today, I pray that this service will be a blessing to you. As we open God's Word, I pray that your heart will be drawn to God and what He has for you today from His Word. As always, I want to encourage you to come out on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock to join with fellow believers as we worship God here at our facility. I know many of you are fully vaccinated, and we are anticipating soon in the days ahead that all restrictions will be lifted and we'll be able to once again worship without masks and without social distancing. But for now, we continue to be safe and care for our neighbors well. We want to invite you to come and join with us for gathered worship Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. As we enter into worship today, Psalm 63 calls us to worship. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. Would you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, as we gather together, it is our desire to lift you up and bring glory to your name this morning. So I ask that your Spirit open our hearts to you. Allow us to see you clearly and to be drawn to your word as you speak into our lives today. We acknowledge that you are our exalted King. We affirm that in your presence and at the mention of your name, we bow in humility to our Savior and Lord. You have saved us from our terminal sin condition. You have rescued us and welcomed us into the kingdom of God through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For these reasons and many more, we offer our worship to you now. May the words that we offer in praise to you and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you this day, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We have quite a few reminders to you today of upcoming things that you can participate in or be involved in. Men's Bible study is on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock here at the church building. Ladies' Bible study Tuesday mornings at 9:30. We're looking for some church cleaners, volunteers to serve through cleaning the church each week. If you're interested in doing it either once a month or every week, that'd be great. You can either contact me here at the church or contact Dan Unwin, who is the deacon chairman. We're also looking in the days ahead to bring our children's ministry back online. And so we're going to begin with nursery and our children's Sunday school that meets during our Sunday morning service. And we're looking for people who are willing to serve in these ministries. If you're interested, you can contact me or Megan Brunk, and we'll be happy to answer any questions or direct you. Branch's Pregnancy Resource Center is hosting a fundraising golf tournament on Friday, June 18th at the Brattleboro Country Club. For you golfers out there, watch for information on how to register for this event. You can go to their webpage, or we have information here at the church. Also, Branch's Pregnancy Resource Center annual Blessings in a Bottle. We have the bottles. They're here at the church building. You're welcome to come by and pick one up. But you fill it with change, bills, or checks, and we return them on Father's Day. The last thing I'll call our attention to this morning is our summer outreach ministry. Each Sunday night during the month of June at the Brattleboro Common, a worship and testimony event called Celebrate will occur. We will be gathering together with fellow believers to worship our God, to hear a testimony of how God rescued someone from their sins, and a brief presentation of the gospel. I invite you to plan now to come each week, 6 o'clock, the month of June, 6th, 13th, 20th, and 27th, at the Brattleboro Common. One of the great joys that we have and opportunities we take advantage of when we gather together for worship is to come before our God in prayer. And so I invite you to do that as I lead us. Heavenly Father, thank you for hearing and answering our prayers today. We are grateful for the assurance that when we ask anything in your will and by the name of Jesus, you respond by directing our lives down the righteous path. We are grateful, Father, that you're not far away from us, but you're right here with us, and you're fully aware of all of our needs, and you're clear about the right answer to our needs and the right paths for our lives. You are holy and righteous, merciful, full of grace and truth. You love justice, and you desire for your children to live humbly in your presence. You never change. And you are the anchor of our lives in a world that is ever changing in front of us. You provide perfectly for our needs, and you desire to give to us as your children good gifts. Though undeserving, you shower us with blessings anyway, and we are grateful for that. And now, Lord, we desire this good news, this gospel of your salvation to extend throughout all the earth. And so, Father, we ask that you bless our city. We ask, Father, that you would bless our summer outreach in June. Let us see more people interested in responding to your love through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Bring the lost into this place and let them meet you here. Help us to reach out. Help us to share the love of God with people in our lives. Lord, this morning there are some people that are in special need of your touch. We continue to pray for Justin Slade and ask for your divine intervention in his life. We ask, Father, you will continue to restore his strength and his lung function. Give the doctors continued wisdom in their care of him. Touch his life and heal his body. Provide strength and comfort and peace to his family. We also lift up Carlton Garland, who is experiencing some physical challenges. Father, as the doctors continue to run tests and determine his treatment, give them wisdom and discernment. For any others who are facing physical challenges in these days, I ask for your presence to bring comfort to them, as they are reminded about how much you care for them. I ask that as they trust in you during these uncertain times, they will experience contentment and inner peace. I pray for your help in their specific situations and their specific needs. But now, Father, as we open your word, would you open our eyes to see your truth? Would you give us spiritual insight through the Holy Spirit to know how to apply these truths into our lives today and in the days ahead? Use today to deepen our relationship with you, to help us to become fully devoted followers of yours. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, this morning I invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verses 6 through 16 this morning in the third sermon in our series, Awake But Asleep. If only I knew what God wanted me to do. Have you said that or heard someone else make a comment like that? Life can be confusing. What we thought was solid and could always be counted on is not. The very foundational components of this life, the things that we value, seem to be changing before our very eyes. Truth, according to our world, is elusive and relative. It is rapidly changing as we gain more knowledge and newer technology. And no longer is a single standard of absolute truth accepted in our society. And one of the many consequences is that morality is thrown into chaos, both personal and corporate. It is now acceptable for each person to do what is right in his own eyes. In fact, it is encouraged. The effect of this trend has been graphically illustrated for us at the highest levels of our governmental leadership. During an impeachment investigation by an independent counsel, they released documents and video depositions that shocked many people. Though offensive and graphic in content, it revealed to us the lapse of morality in the highest levels of our country's leadership and the subsequent acceptance of this behavior by a nation. This is representative of the wisdom this world has to offer us. And I fear it is only a foretaste of what is to come. Sin and its consequences seem to be thrown out the window as being harsh and unloving. It is being replaced with an attitude that says, live and let live, and expressions like, everybody makes mistakes, it's no big deal. I wonder, where is the moral outrage? Where is the groundswell of national disgust at such behavior and cover-up? When did we sink to a level that accepts truth to be measured by parsing such words as is and sex? For that matter, whoever thought that we would hear such graphic details of the sexual behavior of our elected officials? Perhaps even more disturbing than that is that such immoral and disgusting behavior exists in these individuals and acceptable in our nation. Truly, this is a mere taste of what we can expect in the days ahead from the wisdom this world has to offer us. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter that we're looking at today to a church and a people living in similar immoral times. The condition of the city of Corinth was equally decadent and morally depraved. The worship of the Greek god Aphrodite, called Venus by the Romans, was widely practiced. Aphrodite was the goddess of love and lust. The behavior used in worship of Aphrodite would rival anything this generation has sunk into. In fact, there was a derogatory term associated with people engaging in immoral behavior during the time of Paul's writing. These people were said to live like a Corinthian. As we will discover in the weeks ahead, some of this behavior found its way into the church at Corinth through its people. In the 11 verses we will explore this morning, the Apostle Paul reveals to us the keys to the wisdom of God. As we learned last week, God's wisdom is diametrically opposed to the wisdom this world has to offer. In fact, the wisdom of the world is powerless and cannot save anyone from eternal destruction. Paul tells us that God's foolishness is wiser than man's wisdom. But just knowing that God is all-wise and all-knowing is useless to us unless we access it. Well, follow along as I read from 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and beginning with verse 6. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Well, in these verses, the Apostle Paul gives to us three keys to be able to appropriate the wisdom of God into our lives. And first of all, we must have a proper understanding of what God's wisdom is. God's wisdom is only discerned by the spiritually mature, or those who are of full age in their development of becoming like Jesus Christ. Though all people who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ for salvation have the potential of accessing God's wisdom, it will only be understood by those classified as mature or of full spiritual age. Who are these people? How do you know if you are spiritually mature? Who is it that takes advantage of God's wisdom? Well, Hebrews chapter 5 and verses 11 through 14 gives us some insight into defining who among us is spiritually mature. There the writer says, "We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." The writer of Hebrews gives to us two key components in distinguishing between a spiritual infant and a spiritually mature individual. And they are: a mature believer constantly uses God's Word. They correctly handle, correctly teach, and correctly live it. It guides their thinking, it dictates their attitudes, it characterizes their foundation for truth, and is the source of all their actions. But then secondly, mature believers distinguish between good and evil. The Bible tells us what is good and pleases God, and makes plain what is evil. But it is the Holy Spirit who is our teacher. He takes God's word and sheds light on it that we might understand God's truth, and even gives us the inner power to obey it. A mature believer is someone whose thoughts and actions are consistent with the Word of God as revealed through the Holy Spirit. Maturity indicates discernment into the truths of God's Word, as well as a life in tune with the still, quiet voice of God. It is a life lived unashamed and without guilt in the presence of God. It is only these individuals who can take full and complete advantage of the wisdom of God. It is only the mature in Christ Jesus who will understand and be able to apply the wisdom of God to their lives and the church that they worship in. But then God's wisdom is secret or a mystery, not because God wants to keep it hidden from us, but because we are not capable of understanding it. The wisdom of God is only able to be known by those who have the Spirit of God in their lives. Look down in verses 13 and 14, where Paul gives further insight into this concept. He writes there, "This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned." Without the illumination of the Holy Spirit, this knowledge is withheld. The wisdom of God cannot be discovered by intellectual power or earthly discernment. It is only revealed through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We are reminded of this truth again in Paul's letter to the church at Colossae, where he writes in chapter 1 in verse 25, "I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ." Well, then the Apostle Paul says, God's wisdom is for our benefit. If we follow it, it will give us honor as a result of the good opinion of others towards us. In other words, it has a direct benefit to us. But more important than people's opinion about us is that it allows us to gain God's eternal approval. Before the foundation of the world, God knew we would need to be saved from our sin. He knew that we would disobey him and need to be rescued from the penalty of our wayward behavior. His wisdom was predetermined or ordained before time began. God, in his infinite wisdom, provides eternal salvation for everyone who places their faith in Jesus Christ. This relationship provides us with perfect insight into the mind of God for life and godliness. It teaches us how to live in such a way that God is pleased with our behavior and leads us to maturity in Christ Jesus. Well, finally, in verse 8, God's wisdom is unknown by this world. Surely if the Roman authorities and the Jewish leaders had known that Jesus was the Savior of the world, they would not have put him to death. If they believed that Jesus was indeed God in flesh, they would never have sent him to the cross of Calvary. But it was science fiction to them to even imagine that this could be true, It was foolishness to them. They were not able to discern its truthfulness. It was unknown and unknowable to them. Why? Because God's wisdom cannot be known by applying the wisdom of this age or the philosophy of this generation in order to know God. So the first key to appropriating the wisdom of God into our lives is a proper understanding of what it is. But Paul then quickly moves on to show us how we can know God and His wisdom. And it is only through the Holy Spirit's involvement in our life. The Holy Spirit uncovers the wisdom of God to His children. He unveils it as though a curtain was covering it from our view. He does this by giving us spiritual eyes to see spiritual truth. The Holy Spirit also examines or investigates everything, even the profound things of God. There is nothing hidden from the Holy Spirit. The thoughts, mysteries, and even the mind of God are open before Him. Listen to the words of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Paul writes, I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Well, the Holy Spirit also understands completely the thoughts of God. He is able to do this because He is God. Nothing is hidden from Him. Nothing is unclear or fuzzy. The Holy Spirit alone knows completely what God the Father is thinking. It is therefore only through the Holy Spirit that we may know the thinking of God on any issue. It is only through the Holy Spirit that we may know what God has in mind. You see, a key reason for believers receiving the Holy Spirit is so that we may clearly understand what God has done for us. He has not only granted us eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ, but He has also freely given to us access to what He has on His mind. As an act of kindness or a special favor on our behalf, the Holy Spirit provides access to the wisdom of God for all of His children. Well, in order for people to understand the things of God, they must understand spiritual or supernatural truth. This is the language of the Holy Spirit. We must first understand the language before we can expect to understand the message. The message of God is spoken in spiritual language that only our spiritual ears can hear. It is translated to us by the Holy Spirit in words that we can understand. That is why we pray continually that the Holy Spirit teach us when we approach the preaching of the Word of God. Our human ears and understanding do not allow us to understand the truths of God. Only the Holy Spirit's teaching ministry allows us to know God and His truth. Well, after we have gained a clear understanding of God's wisdom and recognize the Holy Spirit is the key to accessing it, the Apostle Paul turns his attention to a proper use of God's wisdom by God's people. A believer in Jesus Christ ought to speak the language of God. The conversation of God's children ought to reflect the character and person of God. It is reflective speech, not the wisdom of the world, but of God's wisdom. It speaks not of man's solutions to man's problems, but of God's solutions to man's problems. It uses words that heal, not wound. It always magnifies God. It penetrates to the heart instead of just appealing to the mind. The speech of Christians is the language of God as taught to us by the Holy Spirit. And just as the Holy Spirit was able to discern the thoughts of God, so too we are able to discern spiritual truth. Our ability to scrutinize and determine spiritual truths comes not from our intellectual abilities, but from the Holy Spirit's ministry within us. It is His discernment of God's thoughts, along with His teaching ministry in our life, and our willingness to hear and obey Him that allows us to discern the truth of God. This simple formula, if followed carefully, will allow you to know the mind of God. Well, then the Apostle Paul quotes from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah in verse 16. At first glance, you may think this verse is talking about instructing the Lord. But the sentence structure tells us that Him at the end of the sentence refers not to the Lord, but to instructing others in Him. Knowing the mind of the Lord is to know God. It is the Lord that we testify of and that we teach. It is the God of creation that we point people to. It is God, our Savior, which we implore people to trust in for their eternal salvation. It is God, the Lord of our lives, that we exhort people to give control of their lives to. It is our obligation to teach the people in our lives about the wisdom of God as found in Jesus Christ. Everyone who has placed their faith in Jesus Christ for their eternal salvation has the possibility of knowing what God has on his mind. But it is only the spiritually mature who will be able to discern and appropriate it into their lives. Well, there's a story about a proud young man who came to Socrates asking for wisdom. He walked up to the philosopher and said, "Oh, great Socrates, I come to you for wisdom." Socrates recognized arrogant immaturity when he saw it. He led the young man through the streets to the sea and chest deep into the water. Then he asked, "What do you want?" "Wisdom, O wise Socrates," the young man said with a smile. Socrates put his strong hands on the man's shoulders and pushed him under. 30 seconds later, Socrates led him up. "What do you want?" he asked again. "Wisdom," the young man sputtering said. "Oh, great and wise Socrates." Socrates shoved him under the water again. 30 seconds passed. 35, 40. Finally, Socrates led him up. The man was gasping. "What do you want, young man?" Between heavy, heavy breaths, the fellow wheezed, "Wisdom, oh wise and wonderful," and Socrates dunked him again until 40 seconds passed, then 50, and he let him up. "What do you want?" "Air," the young man screeched. "I need air." Socrates replied, "When you want wisdom as you have just wanted air, then you will have wisdom." God is asking you this morning, what do you want? Let's pray together. Lord, we are grateful that we don't have to wonder what you have in mind for our lives, or we don't have to figure it out on our own. Thank you that your foolishness is wiser than man's wisdom, and your weakness is stronger than our strength. Lord, help us to desire your wisdom in our lives. Help us to seek after it and follow it. Keep us from pursuing our own wisdom or the wisdom this world offers us. For you declare that the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. Thank you for providing access to your wisdom through your Holy Spirit, who searches all things, even the deep things of God. So, Lord, help us to pursue spiritual maturity so that we may hear, understand, and apply your wisdom into our lives. We ask this for your glory and for our good. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today's benediction or blessing comes from Romans chapter 11. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and have a great week.